Please do turn with me tonight to John's Gospel and to chapter 8. We've had the privilege this morning and this evening to think of two of the very great texts of the Word of God. This text here found in verse 32, and then something similar repeated in 36. John 8 and verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In verse 36, if the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. True freedom. That's our subject tonight. True freedom. This speaks of something which everybody wants. Nobody wants to be chained, shackled, under the thumb, as we say. We all want to be free. We want to be independent. We want to be our own. We don't want to be under the cosh. We don't want to be bound and controlled by anybody and anything else. And yet tonight, this freedom, the freedom which the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of, it's known by so very few people. Are we really free tonight? Is there something in your life that's controlling you? You don't want to admit it? If I was to ask you, and I won't, are you bound? Are you enslaved to something? You wouldn't want to admit it. But deep down, you know that there is some problem. You like to think it's under control. You like to think it's a small problem. But you know, really, it's one that you've had in your life for many years. It's what we might call a life-dominating problem. That's really our subject tonight. True freedom. How we can be liberated from all, literally all, restrictions, tyranny, and control. This freedom. If the Son, the Lord Jesus, therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free. Indeed, no longer addicted to bad habits, things you're ashamed of, free to choose what's right, free to be the people that you ought to be, to live a life that's pleasing to God and attractive to those round about to look on and see a person under the control of their passions. Able to control their emotions. That's what we want to be. It's not what we read in this passage. We read in this passage of the Lord Jesus telling us that we are servants. Literally, servants. We'll explain that word in a minute. He says that we are servants to sin. Verse 34. Whosoever commits sin, that's all of us. Everybody here tonight, we are sinners. We're sinners deliberately. We're sinners through choice. We're sinners because we're born into sin. Nobody escapes. Whoever commits sin in word, in thought, in deed, because of what you are, because of what you do, we are servants to sin. Very often we don't want to do certain things. We don't want to lose our temper. We don't want to lie, but we've become habitual liars and we find it easy. We don't want to do the things that we've done again and again and again, but we can't stop. Whoever commits sin, we're servants to sin. That's what Christ said. The Lord Jesus Christ, that knows the human heart better than anybody, that knows your heart and my heart better than we will ever do. He says we're servants, servants of sin. Well, are you free tonight? Or are you a servant? That's the question. A servant of sin. Are you really free? I don't know whether anybody here has done this. I'm sure one or two have. But when you fly on an aeroplane from the UK to America, you fly to New York, one of its three airports, particularly if you fly to the one on the eastern side, JFK, you fly across, usually, if the wind takes you in that direction, across the harbor, and you see that great statue. Everybody knows, the Statue of Liberty. It wasn't called that originally, it was called Lady Liberty. It was mostly paid for by France. It was a gift, and then the rest of the money they crowdfunded. It was an enormous project, £400,000 in those days. When it was built, Lady Liberty was a bronze copper color. But within 20, 25 years, it had turned into the green color that we know so famously. And there it stands today, the Statue of Liberty. It was partly a gift from France to America to celebrate the abolition of slavery. It was considered to be a symbol, and it still is today, of liberty and of freedom. But there were many in America that were not happy when this statue was put up. African Americans particularly considered it to be just a symbol. Oh yes, slavery had been abolished. But there was still oppression, inequality in the treatment of those of different background and different race, and they said, this is a sham. This isn't right. We're not really free. This is just a symbol. The Statue of Liberty. Free. Free from the law that enabled slavery when it was abolished because of the work of Christian people. Don't forget that. But the country wasn't really free from the evils that slavery and all that had brought for so many years. It was just a symbol, just a copper statue standing over the harbor, a promise, but it was an empty promise. But this verse tonight, verse 36, if the Son, the one that really brings liberty, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I want to take very quickly three headings tonight. Our current state in bondage and slavery. The true freedom which is offered to all slaves. And then how that freedom is secured and how it's received by undeserving slaves. So let's first look our current state, bondage and slavery. It says it in verse 33. The people listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, they didn't agree with him. They said, we are free. We've never been in bondage to anybody. Some people had already heard Christ and he had proven that he is the Son of God, co-equal with the Father. And it says in verse 30, as he spake these words, that he pleased the Father, and everything that he did in his life was to please his heavenly Father. Many believed on him. They trusted and believed his words, but there were those who didn't believe. They said, no, we're not free, or rather, we're not bound, we're not in bondage, we're not slaves. Do you know that's how this congregation is divided tonight? There are those that hear the word of God and they say, yes, we are slaves. But we know that Christ is the only statue of liberty that can give freedom. But there are others, verse 33, that say, we were never in bondage. No, we are free, but they were. These people listening, they were Jews, Pharisees, scribes, and they were bound, not by 10 laws, but by over 600. Finickety, pernickety, minute little laws, ceremonial washings, and things that must be warned, which Christ came to remove. And these people, they thought they were free, but really, they were in terrible bondage. They had no freedom at all. And so he says to them that we who commit sin, that's all of us, verse 34, we are the servants of sin. The word servant there could be a bit stronger. We tend to think of servants as people that apply for a job and people that desire to have that job. And people that want to be paid. But my friends tonight, the word here is doulos. We are literally not servants in a paid, semi-comfortable job. We're slaves. That's what the word means here. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Let's think of what that word means, a slave. Nobody is a slave willingly. You're taken into that position against your will. You're not paid. You're not cared for. You're not looked after. The word literally means a bond slave in chains. Chains that you can't break. Chains against your will. It's very graphic. This is what Jesus Christ says to everybody listening to him then and now through this word. If you are a sinner, that's me, and that's you tonight, you are in chains and you are slaves to sin. Sin has got you under its control. Let me tell you the history of slavery. You don't need to turn to it, but in Genesis 9, it tells us about the first slave. Do you know who the first named slave is in the Bible? It's a man called Canaan. He was the grandson of somebody you know. He was the grandson of Noah. Noah had a son called Ham. And Ham's youngest son is called Canaan. Do you know the Bible doesn't hide the awful sin of its greatest heroes? Noah was a hero. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He obeyed God. He gave his life in obedience against all the mocking and the scorn. He built an ark. But after he came out of the ark, Noah fell into sin. He got drunk, terribly drunk. And his own children and probably grandchildren found him drunk and naked. What a shame. What a terrible shame to be seen in that state and condition. The great patriarch Noah has fallen to drunkenness. And nakedness, the suggestion is that Canaan was responsible in some way. When you read the text, it speaks about the little son, and probably it means the little son as in the grandson, Canaan. Somehow, either he exposed the shame of his grandfather, what a terrible thing that would be, or maybe he even got his grandfather drunk in some way, and it says that he became Canaan, a servant of servants. Oh, worse than a servant. One who serves servants. Do you know that's what we are? But indirectly, there's another mention, really, of slavery before that. You turn back to a few more chapters and you see that when Adam and Eve sinned, they became slaves. Slaves to the earth. Slaves to thorns and thistles. Slaves to labor, childbirth. They had no choice. They would have to work. We read in Genesis 17 that slaves began to be sold. People that were born in Abraham's house, it tells us, were traded. A life traded for money. Somebody's life they don't own. Their own life, somebody else owns them. And they're now being sold for gain and for profit. Slaves. That's the word Christ uses. Whosoever commits sin is a slave. Do you know that's what we are? The rest of the New Testament mentioned this many times. It says we're slaves to King Satan. Slaves to King Sin. King Satan and King Sin, they reign over our lives. Do you know we're slaves to something else? Our desires, our lusts. When a man looks upon a woman, builders on building sites, and a woman walks past and sneers and says horrible things, that's lust. That's despicable. That's sin. And there's no denying it. It minimizes. It makes a woman feel horrible. Shouldn't be allowed. Do you know what happens in schools? Girls walk down a corridor. And the boys say things. And treat them horribly. That's sin. That urge to say, to look, to be what we should not be. We know it. Come on, we don't need to deny it. We see it everywhere and we see it in our own hearts. You cannot deny that tonight. Every man you know, every woman you're guilty to, there are desires, fleshly desires, dirty thoughts. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. Whosoever commits sin in thought, in word, in deed, is a servant of sin. Just look at the world tonight. Look at the 8 billion people. How many people are in a situation they don't want to be in? They're persecuted. They're in a war and in a conflict. They've had to leave their homes. And they didn't want to. They find themselves oppressed, earning $3 a day for plucking tea. How many people in the world? Half the people? Three quarters? When we look at the world tonight, it's an inescapable fact that the majority of people are in outward slavery. But you know, all people who haven't come to Christ, who haven't known the freedom that He alone gives, we are all slaves. Well, let's think of the freedom. Verse 36. This is what Christ said. He's described our position as slaves. He then says, if the Son, that's himself, he's using code language because he doesn't want the religious rulers to arrest him. His time has not yet come. We read that earlier in John 8. If the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. What does that word indeed mean? If you look it up, it means really, truly, not just a symbol, not just a statue over a harbor, which is hollow. It's only about 2 centimeters thick. And it was only a symbol that didn't really abolish all oppression and all slavery and all the inequality. But if the Son, the real statue of liberty, if he will make you free, you will be really, truly, eternally free. Indeed, that's what it means. Christ has come. Why did he leave heaven? He left heaven to set us free. This is the story of redemption, to redeem us. He came to pay the price. No one else can pay the price because no one else is perfect. No one else lived a perfect life. The centurion said so. Pilate said so. Pilate's wife said so. The soldiers said so. This man is just. He's righteous. I find in him no wrong. Oh yes, even his enemies acknowledged that he was the perfect Son of God. And he claimed himself to be the perfect Son of God. He came. He came to give us freedom. There is an aisle in the supermarket today. When you go there, you find a collection of foods, and they're called free from sugar, free from gluten, free from dairy. Oh, so many things. You wonder what's left. What's in the food? Is it cardboard? I don't know. Fillers, something. But tonight, we need to be free from so many things so that we can have life. Life as it's meant to be. Life lived as God wants you to live, which you and I don't have the strength to live on our own. He says he will make you free indeed. What do I need to be freed from tonight? My past, my reputation, my guilt. I went to see a man this week. I mentioned it this morning. I don't know whether he's still alive. But he called a minister to come to him. I didn't know why he called me. I thought he might want to ask me to do something that I couldn't do. The last rite, some sort of superstitious spell to be put upon him so that he could meet God. But no, he didn't. Turned out after an hour and a half that he wanted to tell me 2 things that he had done earlier in his life. He'd stolen something from Woolworths for £50. He wanted to tell me. He'd stolen something else many, many, many times, from jumping over a wall and taking things that were not his. He wanted to tell me. And then he said, but I've been a good man. I've lived a good life. I'm a good person, really. I said, really? Do you believe in God? Oh, yes, I believe in God. I said, do you believe you've got peace in your heart tonight because you may not live till the morning? He said, I know. I hope I will die by the morning. No, I don't have peace. I don't have peace with God. My guilt is still with me. I said, I cannot take it away. But there is a Savior that can set you free and take that guilt from your soul tonight before you meet your God. We need to be free from being so earthbound, thinking about the here and now. So many people, they just live in the moment. They've got no thought that life is just like a nanosecond, gone. And then there's all of eternity. Never ending eternity, where there's no time and no end. And unless you're with your God, you're away from your God, being punished for the sin that you've done. You need to be freed from all your appetites. And the Lord can do that. Once a liar no more. Once a pervert, no more perverted. Once an angry man or an angry woman, gentle, kind, meek. Once believing Satan's lies, again and again, freed, Christ takes away the track record of sin. He takes away all the guilt of sin. He takes away the addiction to sin. He gives us a new character. He helps us to think that life is more than what we can see and what we can touch and what we can feel. And he helps us to know the truth. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. How can I know this freedom? How can I know it? Oh, the answer is here. If the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the one who came to take your punishment and my punishment, if we will trust in him tonight, if we will come with simple faith and believe in him. My time is gone. I want to give you one illustration. Once there was a great English prince. He traveled to meet the king of Spain. While he was there, he was taken down to the king of Spain's great armada, his navy of ships. And down in the galleys, as happened in those days, were slaves chained to their oars. And the king of Spain, he said, in honor of the visit of this great prince from England, I will release one of the slaves today, and you can choose. And so the prince went downstairs into the place where there was great sweat and tears and great toil. And he said to the first man he met, what are you doing here? The man said, I'm sorry to be in this position, but I'm here because there were false witnesses. They gave evidence against me, and I am suffering wrongfully. And the prince said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And he passed on. And he came to a second. And he said, I'm sorry to see you here. How did it happen? Well, sir, I certainly did wrong, but not very great wrong. I don't really deserve to be down here. My wrongs were just little wrongs. This is far, far more than I deserve. I ought not to be here. And the prince said, yes, you're right. And he passed on. And he came to the final man, to another prisoner. And he said, why are you here? And this slave said to the prince, oh, I'm thankful I'm here. For I have to say that I did far, far worse than I deserve. I'm receiving my due. In fact, I'm due, and I deserve much, much more because of what I've done. I should have been executed, but I've been given life. I was guilty, but I've been given a measure of freedom for the rest of my life. This punishment is just what I deserve and much, much more. And the prince said, this is the man. This is the man. He knows what he's done. And he said in a somewhat witty way, he said, I'm sorry to see you chained down here with these innocent men. And therefore, you're the one that I'll set free, because you know that you have done a crime and you find yourself in a position that you've deserved and much, much more. And that's us. You see, the problem is we think our sin is small, trivial. We think we're innocent. We think we've been badly treated. But the people that were listening to Christ that believed, they accepted his verdict that they were slaves to sin and they needed to be free. And even before he says these words in verse 30, many believed on him. Have you believed? Have you believed on the Son? If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Oh, don't carry on as a slave. Come to Christ for true freedom. He will cleanse your sin. He will take your punishment. He died in your place if you will trust in him. Let's pray together. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come to the Lord Jesus Christ who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by and through me. Oh, may we come to the one that sets us free, takes our guilt away, gives us freedom indeed, true freedom. Oh, grant that some tonight that sit in darkness and slavery, chained to their sin, will be given that freedom which only Christ can give. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.